Yakai, Murish Meg on RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM on Minang Country. You're on Whadjuk Country, so welcome to Murish Meg, our weekly show on good news stories. How you going, Jodie?
I'm going well, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, look, I'm over the moon. I feel like I'm dreaming, you know?
I feel like I'm dreaming. I've got some massive news to share with our audience today. What a big week it's been. Dr. Morrison.
Not which doctor, but yeah, something from Murdoch University. I've been honoured with a doctorate. Don't even know how to say it. Don't even know what it means, but, you know, we should start... I should start thinking about what the significance of that is in my 52 years of service. Which kind of means that I've been around a long time, eh?
Look, you know, you do so much work in the community, Jim, and you have for, I think I've known you for getting on about 40 years. You're always out there, you know, fighting the good fight. And, you know, isn't it nice to be acknowledged? I mean, it's not why you do it, but it's nice to be acknowledged, hey?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the last time I saw you, it was the ALS 50th anniversary.
It was. You were our MC last Tuesday at City Farm. Beautiful venue, celebrating 50 years of the Aboriginal Legal Service at WA. And lots of old faces, new faces. And I couldn't have thought of anyone better in the role of MC as you. You don't need a script. You just get up, give you a mic and you're away. But yeah. It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, I forget. I walked away thinking, hey, I did some... court work at the old Fremantle prison. I went into Fremantle prison getting statements from our mob, you know.
So what years are we talking?
Goodness me. You know, you weren't even born then, eh?
Oh, maybe I was.
Fremantle prison now is an entertainment place where you can go and have a look around and,
well,
and see.
It wasn't back in the old Warma days, the old Aboriginal radio days, because we used to get all the requests for the prisoners' request show on a Saturday night faxed in. And then you'd get all sorts of trouble because you'd have people saying, oh, this is going out to my man who's in prison. And then you'd get another woman ringing up and going, who's sending requests to my man?
Oh, yeah. Sounded like Mary Gianna. Look, and that day, a Tuesday, I then went away from that thinking, there's something I missed here. And the day prior, we lost Mr. Michael. Mr. Michael was... a pleasure to be with, and in fact, when I visited Fremantle Prison getting statements from prisoners, he was there working for the prison system, and he was on the board of ALS. And we're talking a time when the ALS was in Aberdeen Street. It's no longer there now. It's been knocked over and there's a car park. So there's a bit of history. And there's a man who was really got disgruntled with ALS, and he came in one day with an axe and axed the door down. Did anyone tell you that story?
No one told me that story.
He was a wild man with an axe. I don't think he took a liking to John Hewlin. Remember John Hewlin?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he was the principal legal officer at the time. So there you go. A lot of fun memories of ALS. So what a day, what a day.
It was fantastic. And our guest on the program today on Woodditch Mag, Jim, took a big part in that day as well.
Yes.
Talking about beautiful sounds of Mudderkitch.
Yeah, they're going to be our guests shortly.
Oh, excited. So so much happening and so much happening in WA Music at the time as well, because WA Music Day on Sunday that RTR are involved with, Mudderkitch are on the bill as well as a lot of other great bands.
Oh, yep. Goodness me. Yep. Okay, let's talk ARIA, because one of the most wonderful singers of our time, I reckon, First Nation person. Who am I thinking about? Emily Weimer. She got Best Adult Contemporary Album this week. Yeah, welcome back. Lordy, lordy, Emily Weimer. Look, does got some great tracks. Black Smoke and Black Boy. And wow, it's an honour really to be playing her music today. You know, I met her years ago when the National Indigenous Music Award, I just bumped my knee on them. Desk. Mommy, what are you doing to me? Yeah, so I met her a couple of years ago and she was just amazing. I met her at the same time Dan Sultan was there and Baker Boy, and the young fellas were showing so much respect for me and Wayne Binder. You know, we were there acting like media, you know. Dan Sultan, another kettle of fish. One of the worst people to interview, I tell you. He was a real... I could be speaking bad language like our guest last week, Fiona Stanley, did. She said the F word last week. Oh, no, it was only the F word. F word. It wasn't the F-U-C-K word. It was the F word, she said. No, Dan was... Oh, he was a misery guts. It was honestly a misery guts. I hope it gets back to him, because I'll never get him back on the program again. I'll play his music occasionally, but
look, no, in his defence, Jim, I did have him on the show when you were away, and I knew you wouldn't know what had happened until it had happened.
What happened?
He was great.
Was he? I think he's had a child since. I think he's got married and mellowed a little
bit.
He was there you go.
In a car on the way from the airport. He was a changed man. He was a proud dad. Things were back on track. He had a couple of rough years there, but I would give him the benefit of the doubt and have him on again, absolutely.
He had a yard and he was saying, look, how many times can I answer the same question? And I thought, how rude. How many times can I answer the same question? For goodness sake, I didn't ask the third question in a row. Sort of a roundabout way of doing an interview. Anyway, that was Emily Weimer, one of my favourite singers. And yeah, look out for her. The album's called Nara. And as I said, a winner of an ARIA award. We'll talk some more about ARIAs, because apparently there were 16 winners.
You know, I was watching First Dates. I forgot it was ARIA's night, right? And I turned over towards the end of it. Troy Sivan was up, local Perth lad, up accepting an award, which was a very emotional speech. And I was gutted, because I love it. It's always on my calendar. I don't know what happened, but I missed it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where my head's been in the last week, but never mind. We'll get through this Morich Mag for the 177th podcast, I think. It might be 178, I don't know. Looking around now to try and find out whether anybody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, the podcast, yeah, if you want to look it up and even listen this afternoon. Late today we'll have this interviews today, and it's Christine Ross is coming on the show a little later talking about Aboriginal business. Amanda... Well, Amanda from Kirikara. Yeah, I wanted her to be on the show too. I better think of her name now.
Has Christine been over in Canberra this week? Because
yeah.
It's been the First Nations Media Association annual conference.
I'm probably speaking to her.
And I know that Wayne was over there.
Yeah, they're talking
Dennis
about
Eggington was over there.
Yes.
In his role as Swalsk chairperson.
Right, yeah. So they're talking radio stuff and improving First Nation radio around the country. I guess is what the whole platform agenda was.
Well,
was it in Canberra?
It was in Canberra this year and last year. And before that it was up in Alice Springs.
Alice Springs. I was supposed
when
to
When you were awarded two awards, National Media Awards for this program.
Yes, we won't talk about that. People think we're just building our own egos up. I mean, you've got to have an ego to run a radio show, eh? You know, that's what we're doing and we enjoy it, eh?
when are we ending for the year, Jim?
Oh, that's another story. I'll better talk to the boss out there. Yeah, Simon's got to organise Lordy Lordy for me and maybe some other music from the ARIA Awards. But let's go to a song and we'll introduce our guest for today's show.
Yeah, that's the sound of Dobby and Language is in the Land from Warangu River Story and ARIA Award for the Best Original Soundtrack. So congratulations there. This is 92.1 FM, the Morich Mag program. Jim and Jody in the studio with you this morning with some very special guests. Jim?
When we talk about talent, I mean ARIA Awards, but that's nothing on this mob that just walked in the studio. Nothing. Kylie and Clint Bracknell, good morning. How you going, Kylie and Clint?
Solid. Good to be
Professor,
here.
Professor, I should say, Professor.
Yeah, Doctor.
good to have you on the show. Welcome to Morich Mag 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Okay. Who are you, mob?
Congratulations.
Where are you from?
Congratulations on
your doctorate.
Leave that behind the door. Yeah, go on. Who are you, mob? Where are you from?
My mob's Coleman's from Ravensthorpe to Esperance. Yeah, linked in with the Dabs and Naps and all the great Southern mob down there.
Yeah, so who's a mob? Who's the family belong to? Which mob?
Which mob?
Yeah.
Coleman's.
Goring?
For your side, yeah.
Yeah, for Goring, my side. Bracknell's all Wadjalas down there.
Right.
But on mum's side, yeah, Coleman's. So what they on the map they got what Goring and Wudjeri and all those sort of words. Mm. Yeah.
Not sure, eh?
Noongar.
And Kylie, who are you, mob? Where are you from?
Oh, well, I'm born in Perth, raised in Pingelly in the wheat belt. My grandfather, rest in peace, Don Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Tambala, Katanning, so all down that way. Mungup people. another name for people to learn from down Bremer Bay Way on that edge line. Yeah, Pop's Mob all from down south, and Nan's Mob on the Bennell Collard side from here through to Pinchley Way and back again.
Ooh,
yeah, big family. Too many to name in this program, family. Uncle Jim.
And when you talk about Don Farmer, he was my first native welfare officer when I first arrived in Perth. Took me from 176 Wellington Street, Perth, to 28 Alvin Street in Mount Lawley. That's where Catacuta Hostel was.
Oh, and 176 Wellington Street was where the WA Aboriginal Media Association was.
There you go. There you go. So Pop Don was there. He said, listen here, you. I'm putting you in this hostel now. You muck up. I'm going to kick your ass, he says. That's your grandpop.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and he would have done too. So I was on my bestest behaviour at Catacuta. Mind you, they kicked me out eventually, but because I wasn't that good. So there you go, that's family.
And that's right, that is family. And don't think you're special. He gave that treatment to everyone. You weren't singled out. No, but he's a great source of inspiration for me. He died when I was just 13 years of age, and in our adolescent years, you know, we think we know everything, but we're really trying to process a lot of things in life. So that rocked me. But at the same time, it sort of set me on the course of being in the performing arts, and everything he'd put in my head, like you mentioned, whether it's a growling attitude or, you know, grand aspirations for people he really cared about, that certainly stuck with me. So it's a reason why I'm doing everything I am doing today in the arts.
Okay, so you pay respects to old boy. You reckon that's got you where you got, eh? Got there because of him, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all have people that we aspire to, whether they're living or passed over, to do them proud, because we know they might be gone physically, but they're always there with us.
We stand on the shoulders of giants, and
he was a giant, too.
He was a big
ruckman. He got, sticking on talking about him for a bit, Tambalup Footy Club, I remember the yarn about him getting suspended from football for a good 11 weeks. I won't say what for, but he stood up for himself anyway.
Yep. So, Kylie and Cliff, you know, the last week you performed at the ALS 50th anniversary, and you fellas aren't that old, eh? Never mind. Might be.
We're getting old.
No, it was wonderful. It's such an important, integral, really significant organisation, built on, like you say, many giant shoulders and people who give themselves tirelessly to the cause of our people's rights and keeping our community safe in every way they can. Mm. I've had family like Aunty Kim Farmer contribute to this wonderful organisation. I'm pretty sure my grandfather was in discussions in the early days across the AMS, the ALS, and whatever other acronym with an A at the front, with himself, of course, being one of the directors of the Advancement Council, Aboriginal Advancement Council here back in the day. So, and some of my family have recently been supported by them and in a massive way, and it's helped them change their lives around, and very grateful, feel very lucky actually to perform there for the 50th birthday, because there are a lot of wonderful artists around town who I'm sure would have liked to have been a part of it. So it was nice to contribute.
It was an honour.
An honour, absolutely.
And Clint, what shoulders do you stand on? What giants in your background?
Well, my pop died before I was born. And all I knew about him was that he liked to sing and he liked to fish.
Good combination.
Yeah, so I'm not much of a fisherman, so I leant into the singing.
Good.
And, that's been a source of inspiration. But then people around these days, like Uncle Ezard Flowers, and even when I moved to Perth and met my wife's uncle, Len Collard, you know, there's people, senior men in our community right through the southwest that are wonderful role models and that will show you the right way. You know, one of them sitting next to me here today.
Brother, look at
you. Know, there's lots of them. And so you don't have to look far to see these upstanding men in our community. And that's a real inspiration.
So you're not a fisherman, but you're a singer. You write songs, and music is now your outlet. And tell us about your experience to start off with in this area.
In singing?
Yeah, singing.
Oh, well, I grew up in Albany, and, you know, my pop died before I was born, my nan remarried an Englishman. And he was massively into country music.
Whoa!
And he used to drag me around to all the country music shows and competitions and everything. And soon enough, I was up on stage trying to do it, trying to have a go. I don't think I was country enough for the country people, but I had a go. And then I started playing in bands and that when I was living in Albany, when I was still in high school. I'd just stay out all night. And then eventually I moved to Perth and started playing around in bands here, just everything from heavy metal, rock and roll, whatever. And then I moved away from Australia for a while because I'd never been out of WA.
Right.
I toured up to Port Hedland and done things like that, but I'd never been out of WA and I didn't have a job. And I looked in the paper and there was jobs in Japan and they fly you there. So I went for that job because I'd never been on an aeroplane before. Next thing I know, I'm in Japan, and I'm running an after-school rock band program and coaching a basketball team for kids, like, in the mountains. Yeah. And then I come back, and I'm like, oh, I want to play music again. I haven't got a band. I just got a guitar. And then Delray Morrison put me on Chocolate Martini.
Oh, someone I know. Yep.
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 Chocolate Martini. It's just been from then on, just keep on keeping on. And it wasn't until I moved to Sydney... I started working at Sydney Conservatorium of Music, and I looked up, oh, who do I know in Sydney? Oh, I know Kylie Farmer. Right? Yeah. How are you going? Yeah. How's Sydney? What should I know about Sydney? And then we had a bit of a yarn and that, and she's like, you know Noongar language. Why don't you sing in Noongar? Why do you only sing in English? And that got me thinking. Mm. And then fast forward, you know, what, a decade later, and... we're married, and now I'm only singing in Noongar. I can't remember last time I sang in Noongar.
Is that good talk in Noongar, see?
Am I right to remember you from the old Ab Music days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Fred Geisha was there, I used to be hanging around there. Yeah.
I remember a performance of a very young Clint Bracknell in the courtyard there in the middle. It must have been NAIDOC week or something for an open day. I must go through my old photos because I would have been covering it for the Courier Mail way back then. That was a while ago.
Yeah. And it was lovely. Like when I moved up to Perth, I was 17, and just the amount of people that took me under their wing, like Fred Geisha, who used to be there at Ab Music. You know, it's remarkable. I've got a lot of people to thank for looking after me.
And now Cosmos Magazine has named you one of the 50 Indigenous people changing the world. That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I think there's more than 50 of us, but there's a lot of people doing good things.
Mm. Well, how about you introduce a song to our listeners here at Murich Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM?
All right, we're going to listen to Korlak. This song's about the bull shark that swims up the river.
Whoa.
And you got to watch out for it because as soon as the weather starts getting warm, they're in the river. They've always been coming up the river. And this comes from Trevor Ryan, the wonderful performer, Noongar performer, Noongar Yamaji performer. Asking me, hey, I've been dancing for years. I only dance the Yongar and the Weech. Why do we only dance for kangaroos and emus? What about the other creatures? Hey, Clint, I need a bull shark song. All right, here you go, Trevor. And I wrote this song for him.
There you go.
Oh, I like that part.
Yeah. That's Marakeech with Korlak, bull shark song.
Yeah, Clint and Kylie, I guess, in our studio today here at Murich Mag 92.1.
I do want to know, before we go any further, the meaning behind Marakeech, what it means and why you felt it was the appropriate name for you guys.
Marakeech kind of means skinny legs.
Yeah, that's actually...
Well, that's me.
That's most new album. It's Clint's nickname. It's what it is, Marakeech. Yeah. Some people say Kijimat, some people say Marakeech.
And so a keech is a spear and a mat is a leg. So it's legs like a spear. And I did a dance music record with my friend Paul Mack. And he at one point said to me, we can't put this out as Clint Bracknell because it doesn't sound like the music. You got to have a better name than that. And I was like, yep, I thought about that before, brother. So that's why it's called Marakeech, because that's what my wife used to call me to tease me about legs. My skinny legs.
Oh, skinny Noongar leg. But most black ones have got skinny legs.
That's it.
And you look at these Maori fellows. They had a big rally yesterday in the city about all them Maori fellows. They got big legs in them. They got wicked big legs.
They got big flags.
Big flags.
Big flag, we saw the flags yesterday.
And so what big things are happening? I see you're going to be a support act for Peter Garrett. How did that come about? What happened there?
Well, I'm not really sure, but yeah, Perth Festival next year, we'll be supporting Peter Garrett and the Alter Egos, which I think is Peter and Martin from Midnight Oil. I think they'll be doing a lot of Midnight Oil songs.
Yeah, I saw
them. Hey, can you dance like him or what? Can you sing and dance like him?
I don't know. Maybe my wife can try to dance like him. What do you reckon?
Hey, he's still got a lot of energy, that guy. I saw them when they were over here this year playing at the Regal Theatre, and it was fantastic with the Alter Egos.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. You've done collaboration with Angelique Kidjo and supported her on her Australian tour as well. What's it like to collaborate with these artists?
Oh, with Angelique Kidjo, that was pretty daunting. We had word that before we were taking off to do a tour together, she wanted us to get up and perform with her. But we didn't know what we were doing, really. And then at the last minute before we're coming on to do a little sound check rehearsal, I find out I'm not just singing, I'm playing guitar as well. And all that, like, African guitar style, that's real tricky stuff. So I think the whole tour, I spent practicing guitar parts for Angelique Kidjo, like... most of my time off.
Yeah.
And it forced me to try to get to a new level in terms of musicality.
Wow.
It was a real challenge. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being able to play with artists of that caliber is it just pushes you to try and lift. And it reminds you that there's people all around the world that are just so fantastic, and we can always just keep learning, like, the longer we're in this world and in this world of music.
Yeah, there was a moment where Rhody, her bassist, actually, because he was positioned closest to Clint while Clint was playing lead guitar, and he actually asked the guys, he said, "Oh, no, don't put the backing track in for that section. Listen to Clint. I think he's playing it." Of course, he said all this in French, though. But we could read the body language, and so, yeah, Clint was playing the parts that ordinarily a lead guitarist would have, but she didn't have a lead guitarist on the tour. So, and... he's right. In the dressing room, he would just be... he's got that serious face. If you know Clint, he's got these facial expressions where you think that he's Karong most of the time.
It's just my face.
But he's so dedicated to getting the guitar parts right. And he's a Leo perfectionist.
Right.
So, you know, he's getting those guitar parts right. But it was great even for Della and I, Della Ray Morrison, one of the original cast members of Brand New Day, her and I, to sing BVs on that track as well for Angelique Kidjo. And yeah, we're really looking forward to the gigs coming up. We've got WA Day with Marta Kitsch this Sunday as well.
Okay.
And the Perth Festival one that you mentioned, but we also have Nanup Music Festival next year as well.
Get out.
Beautiful
and
festival.
It's the first Nanup Music Festival for Marta Kitsch. Yeah. All his years of playing music.
Wow.
So it's a great festival. Mm. Been a couple of years, towed the caravan up the hill, just made it over. And it's beautiful. Very receptive crowd, and you'll have a ball.
I hope so.
Yeah, I've got to say, Clint, you know, said he's, you know, doesn't know what he's doing, you know, and when that comes, when the entertainment side of it. Well, we don't know what we're doing. When we're walking up the stairs to the studio, we then realise what what the talent is. Yeah, we just got to take pot luck. But today we've got this pleasure, these giants here. Doing all this music stuff. You know, we talk about ARIA Awards, but look at these people here. Go on.
Well, when Clint was saying that, I said to him, why aren't you doing songs in language? I mean, we constantly celebrate, and I'm not taking anything away from people that do amazing, amazing things. But I just want to remind our listeners and everyone to also give some time to language, our mother tongue. Many things are being achieved in English. That's fantastic. But if English language is driving the narrative of who we are and what we represent, I think there's a danger in losing a real deep connection to how Noongar language holds and guides and celebrates strong pillars of our culture.
Mm.
Our ancestors that are buried in the ground, they don't know English.
No.
They know Noongar, though. So to sing in it, for me... with Marta Kitsch is pretty much a dream come true.
Right.
For a kid from Pingley wanting to be a singer.
Look out. A big shout out to Pingerley Mob, but also Mr. Michael and family of Mr. Michael. Our thoughts are with you today. Hey, look, our text is 0405921921, 0405921921. We're talking about language now, and Clint and Kylie Bracknell are our guests. But there is an issue around language, because I think some of this dual naming has its challenges, Kylie. I worry that some of the, you know, dual naming that's being put in place, particularly in Bayswater City Council now, they're doing making a lot big effort. So where does that leave our kids if they don't know language? What's your thoughts on that? That's a challenging one, eh?
Well, that's the big challenge. Like talking to Nanroma Winmar, who's edited a lot of the...
Dr. Nanroma Winmar,
who's edited like a lot of the big projects we've done, like the Shakespeare translation and the Bruce Lee film. She's been teaching language for so long, and she constantly says, you can't teach a language in 40 minutes a week.
No.
And that's probably the best case scenario for a lot of language teaching across WA is you get 40 minutes a week. Mm. So I think if we're serious about this, there needs to be a lot more investment of not just talking like dollars investment, but of time and of value. Because language is, it's a big thing. It's a hard thing to learn another language, and then overcoming all of the issues around learning your own Noongar language or other Aboriginal language, that's a big, heavy thing. It's not like learning a language from somewhere else. You've got to connect it to the country. You've got to connect it to your own family's story. It's really big and really challenging.
Mm.
So what would you suggest for people who do want to learn Noongar? Where can they go if they don't have that, you know, within their own family circles?
Wow, yeah. Look, first of all, to be completely honest and transparent, it's not easy. Mm. I think the thing you have to keep in mind is that when you go somewhere, whether it's a language with Kalyakul, or whether it's a language class with them, or whether it's a language class that various organisations around Perth Metro might be putting on, whether it's down in Wallyalup or at Northside out in the KGB or Curtin or wherever that may be, is to really... be honest about how much you know English. Because remember, you're learning Noongar through English. English is our first language. But what if I told you that the word Budja, which most people commonly know as land or country, let me break this down for you. Budja, the root word of that is Budj. Most Noongar people know Budj is the first stage of creating new life. It's the first trimester. Now, usually if someone's Budge, you don't talk to them about being Budge. You talk to someone else about them being Budge. Mm. Oh, she Budge. Yeah, bah, Budge. Because it's a safe term. Budja may very well translate in English to land or country, but Budja is a thing that sustains life. Mm. Budja sits in between Budge and Budjari.
Yep.
Budjari is that full-term pregnancy, that full-term life coming in. So in English, if it's just being stripped back to being translated as land or country, it becomes something that loses its value. So we need to start thinking about Noongar language with more value than English is currently giving it.
Mm. So there you go, your listeners of Moorish Mag out there, 100,000 listeners a week, I've been told. I don't know how true that is. 92.1 Moorish Mag, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. You've got to announce the next song. And look, it's been great having you on the show, and we should have had a bit more time.
We should have. It's been lovely to be here.
Right.
And Kylie's just going to, mention something before we do sort of head off for.
Yeah, before Clint announces the next song, I just want to let everyone know about Nanup Music Festivals has a new initiative in place. It's the Remote Aboriginal Artist Development Program. And so this program allows you, if you're a music person and interested, whether you live remote or very remotely in the community, to apply to be a part of a development program that will actually get you into Nanup Music Festival in 2025. You have up until, I think, the 10th of January to write and apply for this and let them know if you're interested. I think you can have up to 6 band members. They cover some of your costs getting there to develop and even record in a studio. So if this sounds like you and you're interested, jump on the Nanup Music Festival webpage and find out about it.
Okay.
They're doing some good stuff to get more
in. Excellent. That's our community announcement for the day.
Oh, I've got another one actually, because we're talking about language and the importance of it. I noticed the other day that Yiriyarkin have just opened up registrations for Nalakadar. And this is for young people aged between 14 and 22. They'll attend workshops, I think, on Tuesday afternoon, so it's good for school kids as well as, you know, older young people. Learning a production that they'll perform at the end of the year. So another great opportunity for Young Mob to get in and learn some Noongar as well there. But look, we need to give the dates of you guys. This Sunday, big weekend, free music, WA Day concert. It's on at Optus Stadium Precinct in Burswood Park this Sunday. Mardukuch will be there along with local acts Eskimo Joe, San Cisco, Great Gable, Noah Dillon, Angie Coleman, Anna Schneider, and an RTR FM DJ. Then the Nanup Music Festival, get your tickets because it sells out quick, and get your camping spot as well, 28th of February to 3rd of March, camping. 2025. You have to camp. Camping. It's a two-day festival.
Camping. We've been camping for 60,000 years. No. We've got a motor car. Kingside bed now. No. This camping, girl.
And 28th of February, support to Peter Garrett and the Alter Egos. So keep up the amazing, great work. Your music is just beautiful. I don't know the right words. It's transfixing, and it just captures a moment in time. It's lovely. So thank you for coming on Mudich Mag today.
A bit late to book a motel because I'm not going to go camping now. I'm too spoiled.
Find
now.
A good spot for those skinny legs. Yeah.
Clint and Kylie will let outro what we're going to hear next on Mudich Mag.
Thank you so much for having us. We'd love to come back anytime.
Let's
this
do it.
Song is Yonger, about the kangaroo on the plains in the rainstorm searching for shelter. And he's a big Yonger, and all he can find is a little tree. So he's dancing all around that tree trying to stay dry.
And I bet he hasn't got skinny legs. Give it a yuckai. Yeah, Mudich Maggie, 92.1. Wasn't it great to have Kylie and
I tell you,
Clint?
You know, and they said they'll come back anytime. I reckon we get them back.
We get them back.
Anytime, because just a breath of fresh air, and that music, it's incredible, isn't it?
Mudich, that's what the program's all about, Mudich Mag. Good stories every week. And I'm not sure whether you've heard from anyone, 0405921921. They might be able to tell me what their language is, or 0405921921, and let us know what you thought of Kylie and Clint singing in language. You know, you've heard that before, but it was good to have Clint and Kylie in the show. Now we've got Christine Ross. Hello, Christine.
Yeah, hi. Morning. Good morning to you both.
Hey, Christine. How are you, and where are you talking to us from?
I'm actually sitting in downtown Boorloo, so I'm on your country here. Not travelling this week, because this time 2 years ago, Jodie, you and I were on my country in Mbantwa, attending Converge.
Well, I was wondering if you would have been over in Canberra for Converge this week, Christine.
Oh, trust me, I've got FOMO.
Yeah.
It's hard not to be there because you and I and Jim, we all love that industry, Aboriginal media, and it's celebrating it.
We do.
But celebrating it on your country, Christine, you know, it was a few years running that it was there, and it was very special. I remember us going out, and you'll be able to tell us where it was. We all piled onto buses and went out to this extraordinary area for dinner and awards. Where was that?
That was the Desert Park, the Desert Park, and it was because you got the backdrop of where my dreaming is, the Yipirinya dreaming, which is the McDonnell Ranges. So it is a very special place, and it was a beautiful night, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I missed out on Converge this year as well, so I was suffering a bit of FOMO, but I'm
What's
sure we'll
FOMO?
Hear. Well, fear of missing out.
Oh, fear of missing out.
please.
Oh, a bit old for that. Excuse me. Fear of missing out. FOMO. Oh, for goodness sake.
Learn something new every day. And do I now call you Dr. Jim, Dr. Chico,
Why? We
Dr.
better get Margaret. Better get this subject out of the way. Why do you want to call me doctor?
Well, I say huge congratulations, first of all. And I love that our universities are now bestowing honorary doctorates on people like yourself, Jim, because they're recognising everything that you've done over your career, your life, your lived experience, in giving back to the Aboriginal community, not just here in WA, but Australia-wide. Mm. So, you know, you and I were going to yarn about leadership today. there's leadership right there.
Look, good. Christine, thanks for coming on the show. I wanted to talk to you about business and your recent expose around lack of business for First Nation people. But look, you've been on the show before. Before we go any further, who are you, Mob? Where are you from?
Absolutely. So I'm Aranda, Eastern Aranda, Cadige. So there are the big roots for Central Australia. So born in Mbantua, which is Alice Springs.
Wow. Look, thanks for being on the show. I saw the article, you and Amanda, and I thought, wow, Christine's talked about black coffee before. I don't know whether that's relevant today. Of course it is. It's relevant. It's a bit like saying, you know, where your mob and who you're from. Are you half or full? And that's how you say, no, I've got coffee in me. You know, that's some of the nasty stuff that we've been talking about and acknowledging ourselves. So Aboriginal business, it's been big on your agenda calendar for so long. You're a successful business person in your own right. So what is the latest on that, and why did the media pick this up?
All right, so we had a gathering 2 weeks ago at Australian Institute of Management, WA. I sit on their advisory board anyway, and I deliver training for them. So often they'll have once a year what they call the CEO voice, and that's where they invite a diverse number of Aboriginal leaders to come along and have a conversation over 2 hours. Now, we're not all business people sitting around that table. Professor Colin Hayward was there, for example. Kevin O'Keefe as a long-time public servant. So you had a lot of diversity. And then, of course, Amanda Healy and myself and Nikki Irvine. The focus was on Aboriginal people in leadership positions. You know, do we get invited to be on boards? What is our contribution? Do we get those opportunities? So we talked about a number of topics. That article that appeared in Saturday's West Australian on the 16th of November honed in on things like reconciliation, you know, where we fit into all of that, for example. Yeah.
Oh, that in itself is a very crucial point you're making now, and maybe you can comment, given the business you're involved in. What does reconciliation mean to you now, given the failure of the referendum and the voice?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting question. When I was delivering training yesterday, and I have a program called Ways of Working with Aboriginal People, and I always do a section there about the voice and what it meant for us, and particularly the defeat of it, and then the last 12 months. Because, you know, explaining particularly to Wodgalists exactly what impact that had on us. And I said to them, you know, this time a year ago, close to October the 14th, I said, I didn't even want to deliver that program anymore. I just didn't want to do it. Now, that's basically where I earn my income from my business. But I felt like I just wanted to walk away. Because like you and Jody, we give so much of our stories, our lived experience, educating the wider mainstream. And there comes a point when you say, you know what? What are we doing this for? Is it falling on deaf ears? In that article that was in Saturday's, I talked about the disappointment of 60% of Australians voting no. And the point I was making is for 15, 20 years, we've had reconciliation action plans, which employ hundreds of thousands of people. So we've got about 3,500 votes across Australia. And you go, where were they on the day of October the 14th? Why did it end up being 60% vote no?
I think it's important to even think about today still, given it's been over a year, but how people are feeling in their, I guess, their own social emotional well-being. And what relevance today is. So when you talk about business, then it's a whole new kettle of fish as far as moving forward. And I guess we've got to be confident enough now that, as you are, as to how we move forward in developing business enterprise or business opportunities. So what was the big thing that came out of that discussion then? Did you think there was people ready for the challenge or in supporting our businesses?
There is, but we will continue to also have hurdles. And sometimes with a lot of the big companies, you know, when you say, yes, we're in Aboriginal businesses, they're sometimes doubting whether you can deliver what you're saying you can. We might miss out on opportunities. We have to jump through more hoops than some of the non-Aboriginal businesses. But having said that, some of our mob have been incredibly successful. Mm. We have 1,000 Aboriginal businesses operating in WA today across. So that's fantastic. And tonight I'm going to the Pinnacle Awards, which is ANWA's award night, and that's where we have a category just for Aboriginal businesses. And when you see the calibre of our businesses being set up, achieving, succeeding, and you go, wow, you know, there's also nothing our mob can't do. And I think we need to remind the rest of mainstream Australia that our mob are good. We can deliver. We can be professional. We earn our living from these businesses, and we give back by employing our mob and making a difference to our Aboriginal community.
Mm. So that's really the, I guess that comes out of the bad result that happened last year and our citizens in Australia not really understanding the issues. Therefore, there's a bit of uncertainty or even criticism about Aboriginal business and, you know, whether we win or lose or whether we are successful or failures. So that seemed to be what the main guts of what was coming out of that media release. There are people, we need to just really ensure and, I mean, if you don't know, vote no seemed to be the thing to do last year. But if you don't know what you're dealing with, if you don't know the history of Aboriginal Australia, there's never going to be any opportunities. It's really like, you know, giving the dog a bone, throwing the bone at us and thinking, well, you can deal with that. There's so much of that still happening. And I think, sadly, I think the referendum has given a license for people to have that sort of attitude. So hopefully that's not going to take place in the business world, but I see that's part of the challenge, eh?
It's there, Jimbo, and we must always address the elephant in the room. You know, what that did to us last year was devastating. And I think it's reminding us, reminding particularly mainstream Australia just what that meant for us. You know, when the rest of the world looked at what happened in America when Trump got in and they went, oh, my God, how did that happen? And we said, well, guess what? The rest of the world was watching how Australia voted last year in that referendum and said, oh, my God, how did they just do that to their First Nations people?
So true.
You know, it sits with us. We won't forget it. But as you know, we're incredibly resilient people.
Aren't we?
We pick ourselves up and we keep on going because we do it for our mob.
We do. Christine, thanks for being on the show. It's been a real pleasure and we look forward to seeing, you know, talking to you again sometime soon. But you take it easy and sit back and have a black coffee, eh?
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
Christine.
Bye for now. Bye.
Christine Ross. And that wraps up Mooditj Mag for another week. Great to have time with you in the studio again, Jim. Yeah. Congratulations again,
Thank
Dr.
you.
Morrison.
Thank you.
And we're going to leave with
Emily.
The amazing Emily Weirmara.
It's
Jim,
you.
Can you introduce?
Yes.
From the ARIA award-winning album, Nara. See you next week.